Mr. Leary, reel 9.
Or you might get told off for the engine room. Well, you've all the bright work there has got to be greased all over with tallow and grease, you see. You mix it in a tin, and sometimes you use black lead and tallow. And you put it all over the bright work, all over the engine work, see, keep it from rusting.
Yeah.
Well, then you might get told off for the following day, the same party that was on HMS Kent or whatever it is yesterday, go down again this morning, see. And you'd keep on like that. You might be going for a week, you might be going for 2 or 3 weeks. Every, you know, each morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, you don't go down over Saturday. And you'd stay there till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock he'd get you together and start bringing you up, so that when we got in the barracks, you see, it'd be about 7 bells, 3:30. Because nearly all the POs that was on this job used to live ashore, you see. So they was out like a shot, you see. Get out. But they was nearly all, you know, really ready for the pensions. Well, that's how that used to go, you see. Well, you'd be on like that until one time you might come into your mess and you'd see a small piece of paper stuck at the end of the mess. And it'd say, like, J. Leary, barracks number so-and-so, got to report to the regulating office at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So at 9 o'clock, oh, you'd go down to confirm it, you see, that you'd got it to the regulating office. Then you'd come back and you'd see, 9 o'clock tomorrow, oh, when you went down to confirm it, he'd say, all right, outside here, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, with your hammock and your everything packed up in your kit bag, everything in it, don't forget, leave nothing behind you. You'd get there, stagger down with all this stuff, down to the regulating office, be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. You wouldn't know what it was for, mind you. You get there and the next morning, you say, oh, you're on draft, you're going to such a ship. Well, in my case, it was the Rinaldo I was going to, with about 5 other stokers. And we had to go down to the pier, which is at the end of the barracks, and get the pinnace at 10 o'clock the next morning to go out to the Rinaldo. The Rinaldo, you know, that was the first boat as I went to. She was a gunboat, the flat-bottom boat that was used for river work, but she was attached to the gunnery school for gunnery practice, the Rinaldo.
In February 1914, Mr. Leary, you had your first posting. What kind of ship were you posted to?
The Rinaldo. The Rinaldo was a gunboat. Gunboat, a flat-bottom ship. Didn't take much draft in the water. Mostly used for river work. But at that time, Rinaldo was attached to the gunnery school at the barracks at Keham. And we used to go out about once or twice a week towing targets for the ships to, or the people that was learning gunnery out of the barracks, used to come along in one of these battleships or a destroyer and fire at targets as we used to tow. These targets used to be about 12 or 14 foot square, and we used to have about 6 floating on a raft astern of us, about 100 feet astern. And we used to go out early in the morning, straight out the Eddiston Lighthouse, and down by the Devon and Cornish coast, straight out towards the Wolf Light. We'd be going along, because we couldn't do much speed with having all these targets behind. And they used to then, the boats, we'd see them on the horizon, perhaps a battleship, and they'd signal us to that they were starting firing. And they used to fire then at these targets. And we had a couple of officers aboard that used to be watching for the shells coming over and piercing the targets. And that was what we was doing at that period.
This was your first posting on board a ship. Would you say the Rinaldo was a happy ship?
Oh, very happy ship, especially after being 6 months or so in barracks under the discipline there, because, you know, you had more freedom altogether. You was more like a bit of a family, as there was only about, between 50 and 60 all hands on the boat. Well, as I was saying, we used to go cruising along and...
Before you go on, when I asked you the question, was it a happy ship, one thing which interests me is, what in your experience are the main things which are necessary to make a happy ship?
Well, all being trusting one another and in the barracks, as I was saying, you didn't really... You was lucky if you got your full share of food and such things like that. But on these ships, although Rinaldo was attached to the barracks, you got, you know, your fair share of food, and accommodation was better, and you wasn't cramped up like the same. And so, you all trusted one another.
How important were the officers to making a happy ship?
Oh, well, on the Rinaldo, the officers was... Well, they just used to leave it to the chief petty officer, and they, you know, more or less just took it easy with you. They no rushing, you knew what job you had to do, and so. Could get ashore pretty often, although we was laid out in what we used to call the trot. That was in the mouth of the River Tamar, between Saltash and Devonport. And the picket boats used to come up, and when we was going ashore, pick us up, take us to the dockyard, and away we'd go ashore, and we had to go ashore.
Let's concentrate on your work. When you were on the Rinaldo, give me as much detail as you can about your actual job.
Well, there was about 6 of us second-class tokers just finished our training on the Rinaldo. Well, our work was not feeding boilers, as they had qualified first-class stokers. Our job was to get coal out of the bunkers, and trim it all up in front of the boilers. And as they used the coal, we'd be getting more out and putting it in front of the boilers.
Where were the bunkers in relation to the boilers?
Oh, the bunkers run along the side of the ship between the shell, the outside of the ship, and we'd say, about 5 foot between there and the inner casings of the ship.
And how would you get the coal from the bunkers to the boilers?
Well, you had a small doorway that used to lead into the bunker. And, you might say like a watertight door, because, right enough, it was a watertight door. And they used to just, well, this was left up all the time, where you could get in and out. But... of course, it was a very mucky, dirty job, you know, coal. And that was really the second-class stoker's job, to see that the supply of coal was in front of the boilers.
And how often would the ship have to recoal?
Well, with a case like Rinaldo, we used to go out about 2 times a week. And she'd perhaps go 3 weeks without coaling.
I'm very interested in the actual operation of coaling. Could you describe the coaling procedures on
Rinaldo? Well, there was nothing much about that. The collier had come alongside when we was lay a tanker, and they'd transfer coal, like with a grab, drop it onto the deck, as we had like manholes there, so they used to lift the manhole off. And these manholes come straight over the bunker. And, of course, you just stand there and trim it in. Well, when it was getting pretty full up, you'd have to try and get in at the bottom and trim it back like so that you can get as much coal in as you could.
And was coaling an operation that everybody was involved in, or was it left to...
Oh, yes, because actually the stokers used to get it into the bunkers, but the seamen, they had to clean up all the decks because the dust from the coal used to be getting all over, and well, it was a proper mucky job.
It wasn't a very popular job.
Popular? Well, that's the last word, isn't it? Popular coaling ship.
Why was it such a grim job?
Well, everything was so mucky and dirty about it with all this coal dust.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, did your messing arrangements on the Rinalda vary much from what they'd been in barracks?
No, not very much on the Rinaldo, because the rations used to come from the depot to the ship in the raw state. And we used to be allowed tea and sugar there for the mess. And that used to be kept in a little locker at the head of the table, as the table at the mess used to be similar to one in barracks. But we only had one table there for the stokers, and another table over like at the other side of the ship was where the seamen had their mess.
How big was the stokers' mess?
It'd be about... Oh, might be about 18, 20 foot long. It's similar to the one in the barracks, only a bit smaller, shorter.
Was the times of the meals and the sort of food you got the same as it had been in barracks?
Yes.
It was?
Only, really, you got... It worked out a bit better because, well, you got your full rations of it.
Mm. Tell me a bit more about the living conditions aboard the Rinaldo.
Living condition?
Yeah, you said it was fairly comfortable.
Well,
you had a bit more space, did you, than in barracks?
Yes, you'd have more space than what you'd have in barracks, but it was similar. You used to hang your hammock up on these girders, and, well, when you was on the ship, you had the same couple of hooks every time to hitch up your hammock at the head part and the tail part. That was what you say, well, that's them's my hooks. And you'd always hitch your hammock up there.
Fine.
Rinaldo.
Sorry, you used to do what?
Torpedo running. Well, we'd have no targets to tow when we'd be the dummy ship, as it were, for torpedo exercises. We would go out off the Eddystone Lighthouse on the same run towards Land's End in the evening. And by the time we'd get out there, it'd be dark. And we'd go along with no lights on at all. And we'd perhaps be cruising, going down, maybe doing about 7 knots. And all of a sudden, we'd see a rocket go up in the distance. And as soon as that rocket went up, all the searchlights on Rinaldo used to be turned all round the ship. They'd look all round and watch. And you'd see then a torpedo coming along, and it'd go right under the ship and perhaps come out, 70 feet or so at the other side of the ship. And when it broke surface, it would automatically light up on the top. And then a destroyer would shoot right round the stern of you and go and pick this torpedo up. As the torpedoes are used to fire, used to all have dummy heads on, wooden heads, so that there was no fear of them hitting you and exploding. Of course, if they did hit you, they'd just give you a bit of a bump. But they'd come up at the other side, and the destroyers, as I was saying, would go round, pick them up. And then you would put your lights all out on the ship and be going along, and perhaps an hour after or so, up would go the rocket again, on would go the searchlights, and you would have to watch where the torpedo, or the duty officer would, and they used to get the marks and qualifications of where the torpedo either went under the boat or went ahead of it or went astern of it. But the destroyers had nipped round and automatically picked them up out of the water.